Philippians chapter 2 in our Bibles this morning. Praise the Lord for America. And though America is not perfect, it is still the greatest country in the world today. And we have freedoms that a lot of countries do not have. And but we do have a problem in America. And it's not the government. It's not sin. It's not the economy. Okay? The problem in America is that a large portion of its population has rejected Jesus Christ. And we need our focus to be on Him, whether it's in our home, our personal lives, our private lives especially, and, you know, He needs to reign supreme. He's the answer spiritually, He's the answer socially, He's the answer nationally, and He's the only answer, period, is Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some verses here in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege and freedom we have to be in church. Thank you for America, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that we would see a revival of focus back on you and your Son. And Lord, I pray you'd meet with us here for the next few minutes. And Lord, we just thank you. May everything we say and do bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some great verses here. And Paul is instructing the saints at Philippi. He's encouraging them to keep on for the Lord. And by the way, the Bible is applicable. I understand it was written a long time ago, but it applies to us today. Okay? It applies to America today. It applies to every person today. And we get, you've all heard the saying, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is right here. And so here in these verses, we have, as I said, the main thing is Jesus Christ. America needs to put Jesus first. And by the way, the devil and the world wants Jesus to not even be mentioned. Plain and simple. You know, a Christian is the only religion that, if you notice, everything is against. Everyone is against. You can do a lot of things in public schools with other religions, but try to talk the Bible and see what happens. Okay? Why is that? Because Satan doesn't want this world to hear about Jesus Christ. And we, as Christians, need to make sure that He is first in everything that we do. And it starts with verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Okay, so we need to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. And the word "let" makes this phrase become a choice to us, right? Let this mind be in you, it says. Let this. That means we have to choose to let Jesus affect our minds. We need to choose to put him first. If you have something, okay, and I say, hey, let me have that. Okay, you have a choice to make, right? If you do that to a child, I mean, how many, you know, have you ever seen a child that has a cookie or something and they've already had 10? You say, hey, let me have that. Well, they have a choice. I can give it to you or I can shove it in my mouth, you know, right? But that's a choice. And it becomes your decision to let me have what I ask for or not. Okay? When the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, you know what he's saying? Listen, now you have a choice. You can either think like Jesus Christ, you can have the same mindset, or you can choose to do whatever you want. And listen, the word mind, it's what do we do with our mind? That's where we think, right? That's called intellect. We think things through in our mind. We feel. We have emotions that come from our mind. We have whether to do something or not. That's the will that we get from thinking something through. I'm either going to do it or I'm not. Some of us have gone through some health issues. And what do? We think through decisions that need to be made. And then a lot of times, emotion gets involved. You know, my mom had cancer 4 or 5 years ago, uterine cancer. And when we were at the hospital, you know, it's funny when you get diagnosed with something, everybody becomes a doctor, right? Well, hey, you know, you're getting all these messages. You should do this and you should do that. And here's, you know, and then people get mad if you don't take what they say. Okay? Well, here's my opinion, okay? What you decide to do is between you and God. Okay? And I know what's best for my body, and I appreciate suggestions. Just don't get mad if I don't follow it, okay? But my mom, she said, what do you think I should do? And I said, Mom, if I was your age, I would probably try to do the natural thing. But if you want to do chemotherapy, whatever you want to do. But she asked me my opinion. I said, if I was your age, you know, she's 72. Here's what I would do. But she decided she was going to take chemotherapy. That's fine. Okay, that's between her and the Lord. Okay. But then when they sent her a video to watch, and the first thing it said is, what we're going to put in you may cause cancer. And she said, wait a minute, Todd, do you know what this said? I said, Mom, again, that's your choice. And she chose to go the natural route, and she prayed about it. But she went through thinking it through. She went through the emotions. And then she had to do something. And she decided, and she's been cancer-free for 4 years now. Okay? But that's what God laid on her heart. But it starts with the word mind, you know, let, it says there, let this mind be in you. Well, in everything we do, whether it's sickness, whatever, we have to get the mind of Christ. And then we have to do what he wants us to. Okay? By the way, I'd rather follow his plan for me than anyone else's plan. And again, I'm not against any of that stuff. I'm just telling you the process, okay? She had to think it through. She had to go through the emotions. And then she had to decide what God's will was. And this is what I'm going to do. And by the way, people got mad at her on both sides. Well, you should do this and you should do that. Her brother got mad at her. You know, at the end of the day, listen, we have to decide what the mind of Christ is for our life and our decision, okay? And I hope that makes sense, but, let this same mind, this same motivating, controlling, emotional factor totally consume us, okay? The mind of Christ should consume us with every decision that we make. And let this mind be in you. You know, well, what was on Jesus' mind? He made a statement, "For this cause came I into the world." Well, what cause was that? It was the cause of bringing sinners to a Savior. That's what Jesus lived for. He was born, he lived 33 and a half years, and he died for you and I. So if we're going to have the same mind of Christ, then we need to look at people like he did. Souls in a body, bound for heaven or hell. And I've probably said this before, but when we leave church today, we're entering the mission field. We're all missionaries, and the field is everywhere we go. Not everybody's called to a foreign land to be a missionary, but we are called to be a missionary right here where we're at. This is the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You know, if I go home today and I walk in the house and my hands are behind my back, you know, my wife, she can look at me, but she's not going to focus on my eyes or my face. She's going to say, "What's behind your back?" Right? Especially if it's like her birthday or something. "What did you get me? You know, what's back there?" And if it's our wedding anniversary, and that whole day, I think and I feel, you know, I think about my wife, and I think through how much I love her, but I don't tell her, I don't do anything about it. She's going to be disappointed, right? I mean, you think so? No, listen. We have to think, we have to feel, but it's the doing that shows how much we care. You understand what I'm saying? It's the, my wife's not interested in what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling on our anniversary. You understand what I'm saying? The other day she had a hard day at work, and she's a dialysis technician, and if you're on dialysis, that's pretty serious stuff. And so I was at Walmart. I had my battery and my watch had died, and I finally went to Walmart and had them change it. And I got a new battery. And while I was there, I looked down, and there was a nice necklace set there. So I got it and took it to her at work. Okay, now I could tell her, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. I hope you're having a great day, you know." But when we do something, what's that do? It shows how much we care. Okay? You understand that Jesus, the mind that was in him, was he did something for us. The other day, I had a procedure on my leg, and I've been pretty sore ever since. Somebody texted me and said, "Hey, I know you've had a lot of surgeries, and you've been through a lot." And my answer was, "Listen, what Jesus did for me, what I'm going through is minor compared to what he went through for me." You know how I know that? Because he did it. He just didn't talk about it. He did something. So when we have in us the mind of Christ, it shows in our actions. And you know what America needs more than anything? It needs Christians to do something for Jesus Christ, to show them the difference that he can make in our life. You know, listen, we can talk about it, but people know we're different when we have the mind of Christ. You know, the lost road to hell, people don't care how much we think about going on visitation. They don't care how much we think about passing out a tract. Okay? All they know is, what did we do? How did we show them? How did we tell them? Okay? And listen, when this mind be in you, like was in Christ, let this same mind be in you. It affects our thinking process, it affects our feeling, and it affects our doing, if we have the same mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Okay? Renewing of your mind. And it's like if you have a sink and you're washing your hands. Okay? And sometimes we let the water fill up, like when we're shaving or something. Well, what happens? The water gets dirty, right? So what do? We pull the plug, it drains, and then we turn the water on and it renews. We get fresh water. That's what we need to do with our mind. We need to renew it. Okay? And we transform and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that's what having the mind of Christ means. We're transformed. We're not like the world. How do we do that? By spending time in His Word. By spending time with Him, you know what we're doing? We're renewing. We're renewing our mind. We're refreshing it. We're getting rid of the filth that builds up. And we're putting in the good stuff from God. And it's through a thinking process. And we learn how to correctly think. And it affects our feelings. You know, praise the Lord, we're all in church today. Okay? And what are we doing here? We're hoping to get some renewing of our minds. We're hoping to get closer to the Lord, to be challenged. We sing songs. And we heard the history of those songs. The one fellow went to Kenyon College. I've been there many times in Ohio. And I was actually at the church there in New York. Many people there, I think it's St. Thomas Church, they... after 9/11, the firefighters would go in there and rest. And they have a monument there now after 9/11 that you can walk through and see. And there's a lot of history there. And why do we sing these songs? It's a renewing of our mind. You know how many times I've woken up in the middle of the night and had a song on my heart? And praise the Lord. Okay? Sometimes we don't feel like going to church. Sometimes we don't feel like reading our Bibles. I don't feel like doing this or that. But why do we do it? Because we think about all the Lord did for us. You know, we talked about this verse in Sunday school, but for God so loved the world that He gave. He just didn't feel like doing something. He just didn't think about doing something. No, He gave His only begotten Son. He did something. And, you know, as I'm thinking this through, how many times in my life have I thought about witnessing to someone? Or I thought about, but I didn't do it. And if this mind is going to be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, I need to learn how to do. By the way, verse 4 that we did not read says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then it says, "Let this mind be in you." You know, Jesus lived His whole life for others. Even when He was on the cross, He thought about His mom. And then He thought about the men. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what He was doing? He was thinking about others. So if we're going to have this mind, we need to think about others and where they're going to spend eternity. Next, verse 7 says, we read verses 5 through 11. Verse 7 says, "But made Himself of no reputation." If we're going to be like Christ Jesus, we need to realize... if we're going to focus on Jesus in our lives, we need to realize that He had no reputation, okay? But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Took upon him the form of a servant. You know, we all struggle with pride. And if you say, no, I don't struggle with pride, well, thank you for being a great example, because that, okay. The Bible says, no man yet hateth his own flesh. You know what that means? We all struggle with pride, okay? And, you know, whether we talk about it or not, it's good to get patted on the back every now and then, okay? But he made himself of no reputation, okay? You know, a lot of people that we want to be recognized for their accomplishments. And when we do something and somebody else gets the recognition, it bothers us, okay? And, but God, he doesn't care so much about the outward appearance. He cares about what's on the inside, okay? But Jesus made himself of no reputation. It was a decision that he made. He could have had a great reputation, by the way. He could have had anything he wanted. And listen, as Christians or preachers, too many times I've seen ministries, they're building their own reputation when it should be about the Lord and his reputation. You know what John the Baptist said? He said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know what he was saying? I don't need a reputation to be happy. I don't need a reputation to be in God's will. I don't need to be popular or important. Just let me exalt Christ by decreasing myself. And that's what it's all about. You know, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. If we make much of Christ, guess what? Our reputation takes care of itself. If we're living for Christ, we're going to have a good testimony, because God gives the increase. Okay? In Hebrews 11:5, just listen to this verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. You know what it's saying there? He had this reputation. And you know what it is? That he what? Pleased God. Enoch had this testimony, that he pleased God. That was his reputation. He pleased God. What greater reputation could anyone have than to have it said, he pleased God or she pleased God? I mean, what greater reputation? By the way, I would rather have it be said of me, he pleased God, than, man, he's a good preacher. That was a beautiful piano offertory. But you know, wouldn't it be more satisfying to hear you pleased God? You see what I mean? It's okay. You can do both. We can preach well, or we can sing well, or we can play well. But when the focus is about us, we're not following what the Lord did. His focus was never about him or his life. It was about the cross and God's will. And Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What's our purpose in life? Are we more concerned about our reputation or our finances or on and on and on? Or are we more concerned about our reputation than we are about God's will? Or how people see Christ through the life we live? God's not interested at all in accolades. Okay? You all have heard about Michael Jordan. He, great basketball player, won 6 titles, MVPs, a lot of money, billionaire, on and on and on. All those accolades. But if he dies without the Lord, he's going to spend eternity in hell. Plain and simple. God's not interested in accolades. He's only interested in the fact that people know who his son is and whether they accept him as Savior or not. If Jesus was worried about his reputation and he hadn't taken on the form of a servant, do you think he would have went through with dying on the cross for us? No. Praise the Lord that his purpose for coming to the world was not hindered by what men thought about him. Those who crucified him challenged him to leave the cross and come down and prove he was the Son of God. He didn't. When they questioned him in the hall, he spake not a word. When they put, you know, they covered his eyes and they beat him and they said, he knew every person that smote him, but he answered not a word because he was focused on God's will for him. And because of that, you and I have the opportunity to be in heaven. He had no reputation as he hung on the cross. He had no reputation as they stripped him of his royal robe and as he hung there in shame. And we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. He had no reputation as they took his royal holy hands and nailed them to the cross. Those same hands had healed the sick. Those same hands had cared for the crippled. The same hands had blessed the little children. Those same hands that had touched the hurting brow of hundreds of people were nailed to an old rugged cross. He had no reputation as they pierced his side. The blood spilled out, and that blood is the means of your and my redemption. Why? Because he wasn't worried about a reputation. He was worried about you and I. He was thinking about others. As he hung on the old cross, he represented the vilest of sin and sinners. He had no reputation as he suffered the sins of all mankind. He had no reputation as he looked toward his Father for comfort and understanding, but his Father was not there. You understand when he said, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" He had no reputation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That scene that we talked about briefly should make us want to cast off any reputation that we might seek. Why? It starts with, let this mind be in you. And somewhere along the line, America has gotten away from that and gone complete opposite. You know when I was in the fourth grade, which would have been around 1983 or 84, okay, they passed out Bibles. Gideons came and passed out Bibles at a public school that I went to. And then 8 years later, when I was 7 years later, 1991 or so, when I was a junior in high school, we had a motivational speaker come. We all gathered it wasn't a conference room, but auditorium. Thank you. When we gathered there. There was a football player for the Cleveland Browns came and spoke. His name was Cody Risen. And he talked about his life. And then at the end he said, but I would be nothing if I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he gave the gospel. So 7 years earlier, they were passing out Bibles to us. You know what happened that day, though? We got back to our classroom, and the principal came over to loudspeaker and apologized publicly that that man mentioned Jesus Christ in the public school. Now, that's what America has done. In a period of 7 or 8 years, we went from having Bibles given to us to public apology because the man said Jesus Christ changed his life. Listen, we need to get back our focus on Jesus Christ. And it starts with us as individuals. It starts with us having the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it continues on with, he made himself of no reputation. We should have a good testimony, but it shouldn't be about us. It should point people to Jesus Christ. So where are we at this morning with our focus? Because if Jesus Christ is not our main focus, then America has no hope. This is the hope of America. Those of us in church who are saved. The hope of America is not in the White House. It's not in Springfield. The hope of America is those of us who are saved and keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The greatest thing I can do for people I contact out there is tell them about Jesus Christ. And then, made himself of no reputation, let's not get selfish. Let's focus on what the Lord has for us. So I'm not sure, maybe you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure you have a home in heaven. We're going to have an invitation here in a second. There'll be some music playing. It's an opportunity for you to come forward and somebody will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. Also, during the invitation, it's a time for us to refocus on some things that the Lord lays on our heart. Maybe, listen, there's all kinds of ways that we can help others in this world to learn about Jesus Christ. But it starts with you and I and him being the main focus of our life and every decision that we make.